Well, hey, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a terrific weekend. And yes, we're back live with you guys. I got emails, texts, people wondering what happened to us last week. We took 3 days off.
I know that's
tough. We needed it.
Tough for you guys if we take 3 days off, but you know, we needed a break. Austin was actually going to go to the mountains to see the leaves turn with his kids, and that was going to be me running solo shows. So I went to the mountains to watch the leaves turn, and the leaves were awful this year.
I didn't go to the leaves. I went for the kids and off-roading and shooting and hunting and have fun. But yeah,
I went for the leaves.
You went for the leaves.
It was a waste of time.
The leaves didn't do much. They're going from green to brown.
Well, they kind of fell off the tree, half of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened out there.
They're leaves, man. I had a great time. Kids had a blast. Hunter got to shoot a lot. Still training him really hard. He's on a Glock 44 now, 22 caliber pistol.
I shot it.
Yeah. It's fun little plinking pistol. Really,
and it chambers nice.
It chambers good. I've had only a few feeding issues with it. If you want to get somebody started on a really easy handgun to shoot that's not really intimidating, that's a great gun. It feels like a Glock 19, but it shoots 22 long rifle. Cheap. I mean, you buy the big buckets of ammo for $100. This 22 is still kind of cheap, but I mean, it's better than shooting 9mm. 9mm is not cheap at all anymore.
It used to be cheap.
It used to be. Maybe
like 10 cents a round.
Those days are long gone. But speaking of cheap and discounted, the B-Complex, you guys saw that, on sale product of the week. Been gone for the last couple days, so we haven't really talked about
it. Well, it's not cheap. It's just high quality.
Well, it's discounted. Yeah, no, discounted. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's on sale.
Very well-made product.
Very, very expensive product to make with the methylated B vitamins. And, you know, one thing that I saw, Harrison wrote this article about a month ago, and it talked about the importance of methylated B vitamins. And this is a really, really important article that goes into detail of the MTHFR gene. I've talked about it before. And your body needs to have this enzyme in order to basically convert B vitamins into methylated form so you can absorb them. So if you're not taking a methylated B vitamin and you don't have that gene, your body really can't do anything with B12 or B vitamins. This is one of the main reasons why a lot of people that take the cyanide cobalamin B12 injections don't get any significant response from them, because it's a cyanide formula. It doesn't methylate very easily. You use about 30%, I think, conversion rate in the liver.
It's not as bad when you go directly into the bloodstream,
right?
But still, it's still rough.
I get higher levels from sublingual B12 and the B-complex on my blood levels than I ever would with injectables.
That's true.
And so it's a great formula. Be sure to check the article out on it, and be sure to check out the website on sale for product of the week right now. It's another one too. Can a lack of B vitamins be damaging to your brain? And the answer is yes. Your body needs B vitamins. It burns through them like fuel, and megadosing B vitamins like the B complex has a lot of important health factors. So I won't go into all this today, as we talked about it before, but you can read them on the website at Health Masters or Team Health Masters. You can type in the contact form up here, or excuse me, the contact form, the search form, and type in B-Complex, and every single article or product that we have on there, whoops, will go pop up as far as on the website, like why are Health Masters B vitamins different? Can a lack of B vitamins be damaging your brain? All that's on there. And then, yeah, I'm on camera four. If you want to go up here, click the podcast, and boom, you're at the podcast show. All the shows on here, latest episodes. And you can type in anything you want. Search podcast for anything. Berberine, B-Complex. Got Angel Wars at the top. Download MP3.
Oh, by the way, I listened to Angel Wars again on Saturday.
The whole thing?
I have 30 minutes left on the
makes
broadcast.
Makes the drive go by a little bit better.
Man.
It was a good show.
I was up in Valdosta, and I flipped it on.
Yeah.
And it all of a sudden, I'm like pulling into our driveway. It made it go by that fast.
I didn't listen to that show. Jim Rohn made it go by faster. I subjected the kids to Jim Rohn for like 6 hours.
Well, Jim, I used to do that to you all the time.
I know.
Man, I tell you what, it gives you a good attitude.
Yeah, funny. Hunter was asking me questions about whenever I turn it off.
That's what you used to do.
He started asking me questions about words and stuff, too. What does that mean, Dad?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Okay, here we go.
Well, but it was interesting because I haven't listened to Angel Wars in about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten how many scriptures I put on that thing.
Oh, you put a lot of work into that, dude.
I was on that thing
for months.
6 months. It took me 6 months.
Months.
Yeah.
Months.
I had over 100 pages of notes.
It turned into your side job.
It did.
I remember that. I mean, I come in the house all the time. You've got all these papers. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm on the Angel Wars. I'm like, okay. I just stopped asking about it. I knew what it was after a while.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that I didn't realize until I started doing the research how complicated and complex it was. Oh, yeah. I mean, this thing, if you haven't watched that video or seen that video, I need to have Michael Barrett put some.
He's going to. We got a few things we're working on right now with the transition, everything after that.
But I want the slides on that because what I want to do is have the slides when I call scripture out that it puts the scripture on the thing.
That'd be good.
And that way people can
look at
it.
It's like a PowerPoint kind of.
Yeah, PowerPoint. Because the reality is that it's there's so much scripture in it. And so I got to the point when I was doing it that I would give you the scriptures, but I wouldn't read all the scriptures. And I probably shouldn't have done it that way. I should have just read the scriptures. But, it took a long time, though. I know
that was the thing. You added that in there. Well, I think that's a good idea, though. If you put the scriptures up on there, then people can read them while you're talking.
Or they can pause, too.
Yeah, and it condense it a little bit more. Because that's the thing. It's already so long, you start stretching it out. And, you know, one thing, you know, that I was listening to Jim Rohn again, he was talking about is consistency and discipline. And one thing that I've looked at now in so many people's lives is the lack of both and their inability to maintain any discipline or any consistency. And then they want to come to you later on and complain about all these problems they're having or health issues they're having. And I tell people, and I was talking about it last night to a buddy of mine who called me. I said, here's the thing. I said, what you do now has later effects. I said, you can't sit there and say, well, I've eaten like crap. I haven't exercised. I've lived this unbelievably unhealthy lifestyle for the last 20 years. And now I have no idea why I'm having health problems. The difference is you can change now. The problem that a lot of people have because of lack of consistency and discipline is they go, well, I'm going to do a New Year's resolution in a couple months. I'm going to change in January. Why? Why don't you just stop eating trash food today? Why don't you just throw in some B-complex or some ultimate multiple today? Why don't you make a difference today? Why wait for tomorrow? And there's that one quote on that movie, The Edge. And he goes, a good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. Meaning, if you got a good idea, if you got a good plan, if you got good something you can tie into, execute it today. Don't wait for the next day and the next day and the next day to try to do it.
Well, and the reason for that is incremental goals.
Exactly right.
You could set up, let's say, for instance, say, I have a long-term goal of losing 100 pounds.
Yeah.
This is making 100 pounds. And you go, ugh, I don't want to do all that.
It's a big goal.
It's a big goal. So make it a goal with an incremental goal of losing 5 pounds. Now, 5 pounds is easy.
Yep.
Okay? So what you do is you set it up for 2 weeks from now, I'm going to lose 5 pounds.
Yep.
And so you start the plan of losing 100. Well, you change the goal structure, make it incremental the next day. But you started at least.
You started. You got something started.
And then that's what Austin's talking about. And it's the inability to organize details, the primary cause of business failure. And it's the inability to organize details, also the primary cause of not reaching your goals.
Yep.
This morning I got on the scales and I'm up. I stopped at Five Guys twice.
I stopped once.
Oh, God. I love Five Guys, but I just demanded to put the weight to you.
Oh, it will.
And I thought, you got to be kidding
me. That's no fries and no soda.
No, just a burger. And, you know, I thought to myself, okay, well, so what I did first thing this morning again, back on the scales. No, actually, I got up, went and had my purple sticks. I thought, oh, I forgot to weigh in. Back to the scales. And I thought, I've got to get organized on this again. I got to get detailed on this again. I got to stop eating out again. I've got to start getting back my chicken and vegetables again. You think, well, I can't believe that happened to you. I got no halo.
It happens to everybody.
It happens to everybody. Yeah. But the difference is, what do you do to fix it?
That's exactly right.
And that's what I did this morning. I said, I'm back. You know, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go out and start eating at home again and be done with it.
Well, it's so important when you start looking at it, like you said, is you have that discipline. If you set a goal to do something, I'm going to do, say, just 20 minutes of fasted cardio every morning. Set your alarm clock for 20 minutes earlier. When your alarm goes off, get up. Don't hit the snooze button. When you hit the snooze button, you're already telling yourself, I'm going to compromise on my goal today. I need to get up 20 minutes earlier. I'm hitting the snooze now. I don't want to follow through with my goal. I don't want to maintain the discipline to get up right now at 6:30 instead of 7.
Drag yourself to the kitchen and get the purple stick. That's what I did.
You know what I used to do? And this is just a cheat hack back in the day when I was in contest prep. I would have some stuff like the purple stick in a shaker on my nightstand. And I don't recommend this all the time, but I get up really early because I was working and training.
Just first thing out of bed.
I would wake up, but I'd do it in about 30-ounce tumbler because I want to get a lot of water. So I'd have a whole purple stick loaded up in a 30-ounce tumbler, and I'd chug the whole thing.
Whole quart of
whole
water.
Thing right when I got out of bed. And then I'd get up, and then I'd go do fasted cardio for like 20 or 30 minutes. But that was intense. That was working out twice a day, and I don't recommend that for everybody. But the thing that's so important is if you set goals, make sure you're following through with discipline. You know, I know a friend of ours, and they have a kid that's becoming unbelievably obese. Obese. And the problem with it is the kid eats whatever he wants, anytime he wants, at all point, because the parents bring the food home.
Well, the parents are overweight too, bud.
That's what happens. And so you can't sit there and say, I don't know why my kid's 150 pounds and they're 10 years old. But they're not just big bone. They're morbidly obese.
They always say big bones.
So he's a big boy. I said, no, big boys, if they're 12 years old and they're already 6'2 and 200 pounds.
They're big.
That's a big boy. That's that Norwegian Viking blood. You're going to have some 7-foot-tall monster. Got it. But when, but when the kid is, with, you know, got a gut that's hanging over their waist and you're going, hey, maybe you should talk to him about the weight. Maybe you should stop bringing the food home. It's the consistency and the discipline that the children watch, too. Remember, you're the example for the kids. The kids are watching what you're doing.
You remember that time we had the, I think it was a Mastercraft. We had a boat.
Yes.
Remember that? And we had a neighbor.
Yep. Right I remember.
And they had two kids. And they wanted to come skiing with us. And we had a ski boom on the side of the Mastercraft. Where the boom would hang out off the side of the boat. And you could learn
to ski. It was great to learn how to ski. Or barefoot.
Oh, you could learn to ski so easy with the boom. Because you didn't have to worry about the ropes. And it was solid. You could hold on to it.
All you had to do was hold your body weight.
And he couldn't even hold his weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so obese. So finally, he was so embarrassed, he couldn't do anything. So finally, he was in the boat, and everybody else jumped out. And I said, let me talk to you for a minute.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and I talked to him in front of everybody.
Well, away from everybody. You did it privately.
I was about 100 feet off the dock. Nobody else could hear me. And I sat, and I said, look, you know, let's talk about your weight.
Yeah.
Oh, man, all hell broke loose with his parents because I did that. I mean, hell broke loose. Hey, we're never allowed to come to my house again, blah, 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 blah. Finally, a parent called me up, raising hell. Excuse me, he's saying hell like four times now, but that's what happened. And finally, I said, you know, this is what I do for a living.
Well, and here's the thing I want to clarify. You know, a lot of stuff we bring up, I'm not trying to sit here and pick on anybody.
I'm not trying to
hurt anybody's feelings. The fact of the matter is you got to look at it and say, if there's pattern recognition, if the parents are eating trash and having health problems and the child's eating trash and having health problems, at what point do you say, I am now going to execute discipline today and consistency, and I'm going to stop eating trash every day because I don't want my child to be diabetic by the age of 16. I don't want to be on gastric bypass surgery at 30. I don't want to be on insulin by the time I'm 40. I don't want to have stuff getting cut off me because of diabetic neuropathy and lack of circulation.
Amputations.
I don't want any of that. What point do you say it? And it happens, and it can happen with finances, it can happen with goals. If you have a goal, set it. And so I was listening to all
you,
that
you
yesterday.
Remember though, I mean, they were so mad at me because I
it turned into a total boondoggle.
I never saw the kid again. No. And you know, now that's 20 years ago, more than that now. So there's, I'm often been curious as to whatever happened to him. But apparently I was the only person in his entire life that ever sat down with him and talked about his diet. Yeah. And see, the reason I did all that was this. When I was young, when I was about 10 years old, I started gaining weight.
Yeah.
Because my sister decided that she was only going to cook for her and my mom, and I got stuck eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and TV dinners every day.
PBJs will pack the weight on you fast.
And I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I'm 10 years old. I didn't know what to eat. And, you know, and so I got about 20, 30 pounds overweight. And I never got really obese, but I mean, I was overweight. And I remember it was unbelievably embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for this kid because it reminded me of me when I was young. And I said, you know, I said, I can help this kid.
Yeah.
But I learned you don't talk about it with parents. You know, and so what ended up happening is then I started working out about 14 and started eating clean, started reading magazines on eating. And by the time I was 15, I was in pretty good shape. By the time I was 16, I was in great shape. And I never went back. And it was that pain that was associated with me as a child with that weight gain that gave me the incentive for the rest of my life to never do that again. It's the reason I get on the scales every day, pain avoidance. I don't want to deal with that again.
You either deal with the pain of regret or you deal with the pain of discipline.
That's right.
You're going to deal with both, or you're going to deal with either one. Pick which one you want. 100% guaranteed fact. You're going to deal with discipline or you're going to deal with regret. You're going to look back and go, golly, I wish I wouldn't have eaten all that crap last 4 years.
Should have, would have, could have.
Now I'm having cardiovascular problems. Now I'm having this. Or you go, you know what? I've had that discipline. And it's funny because it's not funny. You dealt with that when you're younger. Dad instilled a significant amount of nutrition and dietary, you know, ideology into me when I was younger, and also with training. And I remember me and my best friend, student, one of my best friends of my life, Dalton, we started in the gym like 13, 14 years old. And I still remember this day, went to one of the camps for the summer camp. And him and I, we raced motocross and we were in the gym. And so we're like 13, 14 years old. And we were some of the only guys there, I think boys at the time, that were actually muscled up with six pack abs. You remember that? Mm-hmm. I remember both skinny. I remember both 13, 14. You're not big, but you could see. I mean, we're muscular. We were strong and we were fast and we were aggressive. And the thing about it was it made it such an anomaly because so few people have any of that discipline anymore. You know, under the Florida State game with Savannah a couple weeks ago. And I was shocked, even a lot of the college restaurants and stuff, how unbelievably out of shape a lot of the college students are. They were either unbelievably bony or they're obese. I mean, there's a ton of guys there that are 20 years old. And again, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to make this about that. But what I'm saying is you're going to pay with either regret, you're going to pay with discipline. Choose your pain. You're going to suffer. It's going to suck. It's not going to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would be in great shape all the time. It's much easier to sit on the couch and eat honey buns and Pringles and diet soda all day while you watch Netflix. That's easy.
I'm going to say something. Forgive me for this. I don't want to belabor this because Austin doesn't want me doing this on this particular broadcast. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of kids that are younger and that are basically, you know, they got 10-inch arms.
Oh, yeah.
You think I'm joking, and I'm not. I mean, they're 14, 15 years old with 10-inch arms.
Well, it's just a bone. That's all it is.
Well, no, I'm telling you, if kids don't want to eat, don't want to work out, they're going to be tiny or they're going to be obese. And I remember I've talked to so many kids. I'm like, I always say to them like this, look, you know, nobody's going to teach you how to, you know, eat right if you don't want to try to teach yourself how to do it.
Yeah.
You've got to want to do it.
You've got to have self-discipline.
And the thing about it is that, these young guys will come up to me still to this day and say, you know, you're dating. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and they say, well, we can't get a date. And they got 10-inch arms.
Yeah.
Now, forgive me for this because I'm not trying to be mean here, okay? And my response is this. If you're an alpha male and you want to date a high-quality female, right? Nowadays, you have to make sure you specify female.
Oh, gosh.
God, it's insane what's happened in this world. And she sees you as you're unable to protect her.
That's exactly right.
Now, you better listen to me for a second, boys, if you're listening to me now. You can't protect her. You got a 10-inch arm. You know, you look like a zipper walking around. You know, if you turn sideways, you pretty much go invisible. You can't see you. And the woman looks at you and go, they go look at it, they say, this is not a provider.
Well, no, your persona is you're easy to kill.
You think, this is,
being honest with you.
No, this guy cannot defend me. To this day, you know, I'll go on a date, you know, and I'll say to somebody, they'll be with me, I'll say, you need to walk on the inside of the road, not on the outside of the road.
Always.
And then say, well, why are you saying that? Because I said, I'm here to protect you. And they look at me kind of funny, like, what? I said, yeah, I'm here to protect you. I said, I'll take care of you. If you're with me, I'll protect you. If a woman can't feel that protection, Austin,
that's exactly right.
She's going to look elsewhere in most cases, unless you're really, really rich. But if you're 16 years old, you ain't rich.
No. Okay?
Unless you're a trust fund baby, then you're a brat on top of everything else. Okay? I knew a trust fund.
No, they're bad, bro.
Oh, I knew a trust fund baby that was 16.
Oh, man.
He couldn't get a date.
No.
Because his personality was so wretched.
Well, they're entitled.
Oh, my
gosh.
They're
entitled. You know, and that's the concept, though, you know, as far as, you know, as a man, and I'm speaking to a lot of guys on this, you've got to have the ideology that it's going to suck. You're going to suffer. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard work to achieve what you want. If 100 people start on a road, and at the end of the road there's a bar of gold, and 100 people get to the end of the road because it's an easy road, the bar of gold's there's no value. You get a hundredth of a bar. There's nothing there. But if there's only one person that makes it to the end of the road, it becomes very difficult, which means it's very unachievable, which makes it more desirable, which makes people want it more. If everybody could drive a Lamborghini or a McLaren or a Bugatti, there'd be no value to them. If it's difficult to get and it's hard to maintain and it's hard to achieve, it makes it more valuable. That's what people see in the marketplace, whether business or relationships. Are you basically hard to obtain? Is what you have hard to get? And yes, that's what it's going to be. And you know what we do here at Health Masters? We could provide some super crappy, cheap supplements out of China. We could do that. Have some crazy margins like some of these other shows do. But we don't do that. It's difficult to get the raw ingredients that I get. It's expensive to get the raws. It's expensive to third-party lab test them. This article just came out again. And it says, test finds high levels of lead in protein powders and shakes, Consumer Reports.
All ours are heavy metal tested.
All ours are full heavy metal tested, third-party assayed. And most of this stuff, and I'll get to in a second here, is all coming out of your favorite country, China. This is where they're at. It says over 70% of the products we tested contained over 120% of CR, Consumer Reports, levels for lead and also two unsafe amounts of cadmium and inorganic arsenic in the protein powder. This is why I tell you guys, make sure you know where you're getting your stuff at, because a lot of these companies, especially in the supplement industry, they don't test for this stuff. They get their raws. I've talked to the guys. I've talked to the suppliers. They get their raws in 55-gallon drums and containers from China. They bring it over here. They put some extra flavoring. They put some more sucralose. They put some artificial flavors. And they put it in a big bucket, and they sell it for $100 a can. And and everybody's wondering why their guts are bloated, their stomach's messed up, and their digestion's horrible.
I've seen it 100 times.
See it 100, especially in the bodybuilding world. It's horrible. We get our protein from New Zealand. What's on the fit food? Fit food from New Zealand. It's heavy metal tested. It's third-party assay tested.
All of our tests is heavy metal.
Everything we do is with that. And so, again, it's so important to do your research.
We use a gas chromatograph. You know, I need to take the video that I did at our manufacturing facility. I've got those and play those on the air.
Actually, we need to make it cleaner than that. We have Mike put together a video collection, snippets of them, and edit it.
Only about 20 seconds apiece.
Yeah, but we can make it clean.
Yeah.
We make it real clean.
We'll show you how we make the stuff.
Yeah.
I remember I had a guy named, I'm not going to mention his name now because I no longer speak to him, but years ago, he wanted to see where we made our stuff. He demanded it.
Yeah.
And he was another guest on another podcast that I was on. And so I said, sure, I'll be happy to. I sent him to him. He goes, I had no idea your quality was this high.
Yeah.
I said, it's the best you can buy. There's a reason it's so good. Now, let's talk about something. I was watching a TV show the other night, on the road, because I don't get cable at home. I don't have any of that. You know, I have DVDs. Oh, by the way, we had a guy come to the office the other day and gave me about 200 DVDs.
Oh, great customer.
I've been having a heyday with those.
Dropped us Bronco in Florida to get it built.
Oh, I tell you what.
Yeah, he brought you a bunch of DVDs.
Oh, my God.
He called me and was like, hey, Austin, I brought DVDs to the office. I said, well, let me get a hold of Dad. You know, I know he wants these.
Oh, yeah, it's a great. It's overwhelming. There's so many.
You have an overwhelming collection now. It's ridiculous.
There's more now.
It's going to be a vault eventually one day.
Oh, yeah. I have like 1,200 DVDs.
When you're long and gone, we're going to have museum. Dr. Brewer's DVD collection.
Don't count me out just yet.
Nah, you still got another 30, 40 years on.
Okay. Legendary mobster's grandson explains how sports figures get involved with the mafia. Powerful thing. This broke news last week, and it made a big deal. I wanted to cover it. Meyer Lansky II. This is high-level mafia stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
The grandson of the legendary mobster has offered a glimpse into how star athletes who already possess wealth and fame managed to get up caught up with the mafia.
Yep.
On Thursday, news of the arrest of more than 24 individuals allegedly involved with sports fixing and illegal gambling rings run by the mafia went viral. Three of the areas, by the way, he knows how quiet it is about that. Now nobody's talking about it anymore.
Nobody.
Yeah. Three of the arrests in particular, Portland Trail Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups, former player, don't never forget about Pete Rose, remember him, and former player and coach Damon Jones, and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier raised eyebrows. Billups and Jones were charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Both are accused of participating in a rigged poker game in which they would use their status as former NBA stars to help lure high-profile wealthy players into the game.
Yep.
Now, it was interesting. According to the Department of Justice, card players duped in participating in the rigged game lost an estimated $7 million. Why would former and current NBA coaches and players, many of who have made far more money from basketball gambling, do this? Well, they're risk takers. Athletes are like that. They've got a lot of adrenaline, Meyer Lansky said. They think they could have millions of dollars and be paid by a team, and they can have more in their gambling, too. Or they have an addiction to gambling. There's a lot of people who are like that. Lansky, too, also thinks that fame and fortune athletes accrue from sports embolden them. I think anybody that gets an extraordinary amount of money and they've got a lot of fans behind them think that they can do whatever they want to do. It's pretty easy to fix that. It's always been beneficial to fix these games. And what they were doing, I watched this guy. It was on with that. I was watching CNN, which I never watched CNN. I can't even, and it was Anderson Cooper, the gay dude. CIA gay dude, right?
It's funny he actually covered this topic.
No, but listen to this. I had no idea. He had a phone like this with him, the guy was interviewing. He put it down like this. Put it down on the table, and they're shuffling cards. And he goes, the third hand's going to win. The phone knew the dog on deck and was counting the cards.
No.
I can't even make this stuff up. And he said, and sure enough, third hand won.
For an AI.
It's counting the cards, and they had a camera on this thing that was able to go through the card and see it.
Wow.
And he says the same thing. He has an earpiece, a little tiny earpiece that's the size of tiny. And you don't want to get it out of your ear. You got to use a magnet because you can't see it. And it's telling them what the cards are.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm watching it, and I'm going, this is great for the show. I'll talk about this on the show.
Whole nother level of cheating.
No, I mean, so the person who's shuffling the cards, they know what's going on. The phone knows what's going on. The phone is laying on the table right here.
That's wild.
And it's talking to him through his earpiece. Tell them what to bet on, what not to bet on, what this other stuff. And I'm like,
that, you know what makes sense about that? A while back ago, I went with a couple buddies at Council Oaks, that restaurant over the casino. And it's funny because he wanted to play some blackjack, and he did the same thing. And the pit boss immediately said, your phone has to be in your pocket. Your phone's not allowed to be on the table at any point. That's funny. So they said they know what's going on with that.
No, and the same thing. They've got glasses. The same thing. He put a pair of glasses on. You can see right through the card.
Well, the Meta glasses now basically display stuff inside.
But you can see right through the card and see what
That's
it was. Crazy. And I'm sitting there going, wow, Anderson Cooper, you've actually got a good guest on today. And I thought to myself, but now let's stop for 1 second. Let's look at this thing with these guys doing this. The mafia in sports betting have been around for 100 years. We're talking all the way back to the World Series games in the early 1900s.
Racing, everything else, yeah.
And remember, football is not even registered as a sport. It's registered as entertainment like professional wrestling. Anybody who bets on football...
unless you know who's going to win because it's rigged.
It's just you would say, you know, Van Green, my workout partner, played with Cleveland Browns and played with Buffalo. They approached him after he got out to run bets for them.
Yeah.
And they told him, don't ever let your friends bet on the games because all the games are fixed.
Yeah.
And this is 30 years ago. And you think it's not got any – it's just worse now than it's ever been. And now like 30 different states have sports betting available.
Oh, yeah.
It's all legal.
It's going to be nationwide here soon, the sports
betting. And all it is it's mobster-owned. And I'm telling you this, and it's my opinion. When Florida State won that game in 2013
– oh, I know so. I was there.
We were there. Yeah. And all of a sudden we came out – and all of a sudden, they were horse collars. There were face masks that weren't called on the final drive. We won.
Well, no, but you can remember, like, we would run a play.
And they knew the play.
And that we didn't even get off the line. They already had all of our boys covered and dropped. They knew exactly what play we were running.
And we had won every game like 50-0 that year. And then we find out that our offensive coordinator from the year before was their offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And suddenly they found out that they were reading Jimbo Fisher's lips.
They were putting a doggone towel up in front of them.
Yeah. And then when we get at the end of the game, they've had the face mask and everything else.
And we won.
And we won. And then all of a sudden we go out and there's hundreds of tents set up with sports memorabilia.
Vendors.
And not one tent had a Florida State t-shirt, hat, or jersey that Florida State had won the game. It was all Auburn. All of them.
I got mad.
Now I was there.
On each vendor.
This is a speculation on my part. We were there and we were like, what the heck? And I said, look at Austin. I said, remember what Van Green told me?
Yep.
I said, that was
college ball.
That was college. Well, he said the high-level college balls were rigged too.
Yeah. Bowl games.
And suddenly Florida State starts off this year great. And now they completely collapse.
Well, now the fact that you got some of these basically, as far as these quarterbacks down in Miami, you know, coming out $1 million-a-year contracts. Guys are talking 19, 20 years old making $1 million a year
in
college.
Let's just think about it. Let's put it this way. Let's say the mafiosa groups, which they are involved in the high-level college betting.
Yeah.
These guys are betting billions of dollars. Billions in aggregate.
Yeah.
And these guys are going to make sure that they hedge their bets. And all of a sudden, we won a game we're not supposed to.
Yep.
And so now we won one ACC championship. And then after that, we were snubbed for the national championship playoff. And then the last 2 years have been awful. And Florida State has basically never come back from the win of Auburn.
You know, I still remember this. Years ago, I was a little kid. And we were on a road trip. We're out west. And we drove through Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we stopped and we were looking at some of the stuff. And we were looking outside. And we stopped in front of Bellagio. I'll never forget this. I was like 14 years old. And Dad said, look at this place. I'm like, gosh, this place is huge. I'm 14. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And he goes, they didn't build the Bellagio because they lose money, Austin. I went, oof. Oof. They don't build those casinos because they lose money. They may have a loss a day or a loss an hour or a loss this, but they don't build those buildings because they lose money.
Then we went to one of those buffets, and I remember it had the Wall of Fame in which all these people won, you know, $100,000. It was like 10 pitchers.
Yeah. Well, they stopped doing that now because everybody caught on to it. Like, oh, there's 5,000 people in the casino, and we got a Wall of Fame for the last 10 years. There's, you know, 15 people on it.
Yeah, but people get addicted to gambling.
Oh, yeah.
And then what happens with the sports betting, if the mafiosa groups – remember when Jameis Winston was betting on the games and they caught him doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Telling his friends to bet on them and spreads? Here's
why they've got the sports betting. I'll give you guys a little insider tip on this. The reason why they've gotten these things passed and legislatures passed, obviously on the back end with bribes, in my opinion, to get sports betting, it's because when people do sports betting, they're associating themselves with the team. They're part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're part of the team. They're part of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm betting on my team that they're going to win. I identify with this team as my tribe. I'm wearing the jersey. It's the ideology, and it keeps people, and I'm just going to be honest, it keeps very simple-minded people wrapped up in theater and fantasy so they don't focus on their lives and focus on their own goals. real direct with you guys. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but that's where they do it. Instead of teaching people and encouraging people, say, you know what? How about I try to figure out how to make some another business? How about I try to bring something to market? How about I try to start a company? How about I start with another job? How about I do all these different things? How about I work on my family? How about I work on these things? I'm focused on, well, I'm part of Dallas Cowboys. I bet $1,000 on this game, and I'm going to win. And I got money invested in it now. So now you're directly invested in the game to see if you can make more money off it, and it keeps people distracted and does not allow them to focus on their own goals and own growth.
Well, it's even more than that from a psychological standpoint, because most people now, they hate their jobs. And I know you may love your job. I got it, okay?
But some people do.
80% of the people hate their jobs. Just that's a statistical number on approximately. 20% of the people, you know, 10% of the people, there's a few percent that love their jobs.
Yeah.
Okay? They love them. That's why they're always looking for new jobs.
Yeah.
Because they're not content with where they are. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to move up and move up and move up, that's your choice, okay? If you want to better yourself. The problem is, though, that most people are basically, how should I say this? They're subject to their boss's whims and desires.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to work 80 hours this week. Well, I don't want to. You're fired if you don't work.
Especially in law firms. Okay. Man. I've seen a whole other world with that.
So then all of a sudden you feel like, I feel so defeated. I go to work and they boss me around and they tell me how awful I am and that this is horrible, okay? And suddenly you go, well, you know, but I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. I won $1,000 on last week. And now all of a sudden you're no longer the loser who hates your boss, who hates your 80% of your jobs, okay? And you're not a loser. That's just how they feel. And all of a sudden now you become a winner.
Yeah.
Okay? And now all of a sudden, you know, you come home and your wife's been sleeping all day. Or if you're the wife and you're the breadwinner, your husband's been sleeping all day. And you're like, well, why in the world is my life like this, where my spouse sleeps all day and nobody ever does anything but me? I'm the only one that brings any money in. And so what happens is you start feeling as though that you've been defeated in your life.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're watching the Tampa Bay Bucks.
And you win a game.
And you win a game. Now you're no longer, you know, Joe Schmo.
You're a winner.
You're a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Winner. You just won money, $1,000, $5,000.
All of a sudden now you start looking at your life through a sports team.
Yep.
There are people that are so obsessed with it, Austin, it's mind-boggling.
It is.
They literally will watch NFL all day long and watch a different
team. Well, all weekend. You know, and I've talked to people before about it. I'm like, you know, instead of watching 17, 18 hours of NFL all weekend, I said, why don't you start writing down your 25 goal list? There's a hack for you. I've had so many people that I know. So many people that I know that have done well above what they ever thought they were going to do by doing that one simple hack. And I ask people all the time. People ask me, well, I want to get involved in this. What should I do? Or what can I do here? I said, what's your top 25 goal list look like? What do you mean? What's your top 25 goal list look like? Well, I don't know. I don't have any goals. That's obvious. Write down your top 25 goals. So, do a notebook of paper.
Tell you've been listening to the Roan all week.
I've had people come back to me and email me and call me weeks, months, years later and say, dude, I appreciate you getting me on that. Because what it does is, and you take a notebook of paper. It's super simple. Take a notebook of paper. It's got 25 lines on it. Write down 25 goals. Especially good for young people and in college. And there's no cap on it. No cap. Doesn't matter. If you had all the money in the world, all the cash flow, say you won the lottery, whatever. Doesn't matter. 25 goals. And it's hard to actually finish them. And I had somebody the other day, I told them to do it. They got like 15. They're like, huh, I'm trying to find next 10. Mm-hmm. Next 10. Can't find them. I said, no, there's no cap, no limit. Okay. I got 5 more left. Okay. And finally the other day, they hit me up and said, I got 25. I said, cool. I said, you can share it with me if you want or don't. I said, I don't need to know if you want to keep it private. And that right there will open up your brain, because what happens is your brain starts looking at that list and it goes, well, I haven't achieved this, 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 and this. And subconsciously you look at the list and your brain goes, okay, how do I achieve those goals? How do I start working on them? Instead of watching NFL for 18 hours a weekend, you start writing down those incremental goals on those top goals. How do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? How do I start here? That's how you start addressing it and how you start growing.
Well, also you look at the top 10 things you're going to do that day.
Oh, yeah.
Those are incremental goals. Those are the activity
goals.
That's
why I was going the next phase with that.
Okay, because if you put a top 10 list down every day and you check them off,
yep,
you won't believe how much you're going to get done.
I do this almost every day. I have note cards every day. Every day. As soon as I wake up in the morning, I start my note list. Brrr, the night before, I'll do it. All the things I got to get done the next day. And I'll put minuscule things on there, like gym.
Yeah.
I already know I'm going to work out. But it gives me that ability to scratch it off. And it gives you that success factor where you check it off. I'll put the podcast on there. 10 or 11. I know I'm doing the podcast. Y'all know I'm doing the podcast. Everybody knows doing the podcast for 10-11, but it's on my goal list every day, and I check it off because that gives me the ability to keep hitting the list all day, go all the way down. Then I'm done in the day, done. 7, 8, 9 o'clock, chill out with the kids, hang out, get ready for bed, and start over again the next day and continue to get stuff
done. One of my top 10 things every day, get on the scales and weigh.
There you go.
You know, every day. People used to fuss at me. I mean, my kids always fuss at me. You're obsessed with that. I said, no, I'm just consistent with that.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Because obsessed with me, I'm going to the scales 25 times a day.
Correct.
I don't do that.
And I'm staring at it, and then all I'm doing all day is fixating on the scales.
No, it's once
a
month.
If you got a goal, like you said with a goal, if you need to get your weight down, 5 pounds in 2 weeks. Two or 3 pounds in a week. Work on it incrementally. Now, one thing I wanted to cover here is this is something for people to understand. I'm going to cover this a little bit here very shortly. I'm going to tell you there's two factors that are going on with this. It says the USDA says SNAP benefits will expire for 41 million people if shutdown persists by November 1st, meaning this is the SNAP program that basically gives people money for food. It's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It used to be food stamps. Now it's all digital. It's on a, basically like a debit card, if you guys know this. And they're saying that there's 41.7 million participants that are no longer going to get any type of food. It says essentially the SNAP program is about $100 billion a year, averaging out to about $200 per participant per month, and it can adjust up there, especially depending on how many kids or dependents you have. And they're now saying, basically, by November 1st, nobody's getting assistance by November 1st. Now, let me get your take on this. In my opinion, there's you've got two factors to this. A, we either have the government being the government, manipulative propaganda, again, trying to get people distracted and all focused on this, because on every mainstream media article, I've had like four people send me this, so that's why I'm covering it today, and getting everybody all nervous. Oh my gosh, November 1st. The sky's going to fall. SNAP program's dissolving. Nobody's going to have any food. Everything's going to go crazy. Or there's a flip side of this. They are going to allow this to go through, and it's going to cause more chaos and more issues and more problems to keep everybody, once again, focused on, instead of the fact that, you know, we said, you know, the main Trump campaign managers get hired by Israel for $1.5 million a month for the next 4 months to combat anti-Semitism on social media. Or the fact he's had multiple Israeli companies buy up Snapchat. I won't talk about that one. We're not going to go there today. But anyways, USDA says this. Let me know what you guys think of it. Send me some emails. What's
well, look on that card. You got some. You look like
see Colgate with fluoride.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got the fluoride.
Bagels,
but you know,
broccoli.
Yeah, not I mean, it's bad. Not. It's pretty clean. You got some butter over there on the right. But that's not what these people who use Snap really buy.
No. No, it's not.
I'm not saying there aren't exceptions, but the majority of people I see on SNAP who have food stamps,
it's jugs of soda.
Jugs of, loaves of white bread, you know, just pork. I mean, just nasty food. And I see it all the time, and they're almost all obese.
And here's the thing, and I haven't understood that problem. This concept has eluded me. It really has. I don't understand how you can say, I need food assistance from the federal government, because some people do, I get it. There's some single mothers, there's people that are disabled, there's people that really do need that support, and I'm 100% in favor of that. However, how do you justify needing money from the government to eat when you're 450 pounds, which I've personally seen before, and people use their EBTs at checkout? And I'm like, you need a diet. You need a fast, buddy. You need to figure out what your life is doing the rest of your life. And so, again, this is something that I think, this is a lot of theater. I personally think they're going to do this thing at the last minute like they did last time. But I will say this, and this isn't me trying to plug it, because a lot of people ask me about this question. I've said this so many times. It's really important that you have some backup food at some point in your house. I don't care if you get it from us. I don't care if you get it from Publix. I don't care if you get it from Walmart. I don't care if you get MREs, food buckets, the organic ones that we have, canned food. Have some food in your pantry. Don't be that person that runs out of food after 2 or 3 days and goes, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do with myself. I got to go to the store and buy food. Because quite frankly, you could just not go out to eat one time that month and you'll probably save $100 and enough to buy a bucket or enough to buy some MREs and canned foods.
Oh, by the way, the government is now saying that the inflation says we have zero inflation right now. More lies from the government. And then again, Goldman Sachs goes up and says one more time that the gold could go to $10,000 an ounce. So, you know,
it recorrected last week. Like I told everybody, it dropped down to 4 flat. It's about 4,100 a day.
Well, we told you it would.
It had to. It was going up fast.
Because what's happening is people don't really know what to do with any of this. Oh, by the way, the government shutdown now will start hitting air traffic controllers pretty quickly, they're saying, which is silly because it doesn't mean they can't work, but it means that they have to work without pay and they'll get retro back pay. So, but, you know, you got air traffic controllers that don't show up. That becomes a problem.
I saw this earlier. They had almost a 3-hour delay at LAX yesterday. They had a ground stop. They should have ground stopped. So it's a staffing issue out of Oakland. Ground stop. That's LAX. Mm-hmm. This isn't some bobo airport in the middle of Oklahoma. I mean, this is a big airport. Same thing in Chicago O'Hare. They had the same issue. Same thing in New Jersey's Newark Liberty International. This is starting to happen. And again, a lot of this stuff is being done as theater. Because remember, last week they already said, Congress is still getting paid. Congress isn't getting deferred checks. Oh, and that's right. Israel and Ukraine are still getting paid, too. So keep paying your taxes. They need your money.
$39 billion last year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's, you know, got to make sure they keep everybody
well,
taken care of.
That was just Israel. Oh, by the way, outrage after federal agents used tear gas just before a Halloween parade in Old Irving Park up near Chicago.
Nah, there's a whole story to this.
Oh, there is.
There's a whole story to this.
Well, no, it's
that's the headline that they want to feed you to instill more anger.
Well, federal agents deployed tear gas in Chicago's Old Irving Park neighborhood Saturday morning, disrupting a community Halloween parade and sparking outrage among residents. Witnesses say Customs and Border Protection officers tackled and detained an undocumented man who was 70 years old, basically could barely walk, barely move, and then basically they used chemical agents because the neighbors got mad. Wow. Former prosecutor Brian Culp, who saw the incident unfold in his front yard, said the 70-year-old neighbor who was detained, and that a law firm is preparing the lawsuit against the federal government as they're picking up tear gas containers for evidence. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, just maybe up there in Chicago, you need to chill out. You know, somebody about to have a parade and not be hitting people that are 70 years old and then throwing tear gas containers at everybody. But you got to remember, when you have absolute control with absolute tyranny, that's a boot we have to live under apparently nowadays, and that's not something that I'm willing to live under.
It's, you know,
it's absolutism. It's not okay.
It's absolutism, but it also comes down to this factor is how long, and I'm arguing both sides of this, how long do you allow a city to be so lawless where they have one of the highest firearm homicide rates in the entire country?
Dead bodies in the streets.
Chirac. Okay, I mean, they're known for having mass shootings every weekend. It's almost a joke, and it's not funny, but it's a joke on memes. How many people got shot this holiday weekend in Chicago? It's not funny, but it's a fact. And so then you start going, well, are we a nation of laws? Are we not a nation of laws? Are we a constitutional republic that bases everything on laws and rules and Bill of Rights? Or is it something that we just allow everybody to do as they please at any time as they want? They're now saying that the guy, the truck driver, from California, that killed three people on the Florida Turnpike.
Made a U-turn.
Made a legal U-turn on the Turnpike, which you've ever been on that Turnpike. It's the stupidest thing you can do. He failed his CDL exam 10 times in California. 10 times. Didn't he speak English? They finally passed him on the 11th time. And then he drove all the way across the country, made it to Florida somehow. Don't even know how he did that without cause, without issue, incident. And then did a U-turn, killed three people. Now, those three people,
it's DEI, baby,
mother and father and child, they don't get to be here anymore. They don't get to breathe anymore because this guy decided that he was going to file for a CDL because he was completely illegal. And then everybody in California said, we're not a nation of laws. We're a nation of California. There is no rule of law here. We're approving this guy because he wanted to get approved. We're saying, hey, you failed 10 times. You finally kind of sort of passed. You can't even read road signs, but we're going to approve you to go to the rest of the country. So when you have stuff like this in certain states, it has a domino effect into other states. So are we a nation of rules and laws, or are we not a nation of rules and laws?
No, we have rules for thee and not for me.
I'm talking about when you come across the border illegally, you're breaking the law.
No.
A country has to have borders.
No.
It has to have boundaries. It has to have walls.
Well, I don't think. Well, there's so many people say we don't want borders anymore. So,
of course, that's the George Soros way.
Well, what you do is say, okay, just take the doors off the front of your house.
Yeah. Take your deadbolts off.
No. Just take the doors off.
Yeah. Leave it open.
Let everybody come in, take what they want, leave, go out, and take out, you know, just let you know.
Open for everybody.
And if you tell them that, they get angry.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of Oprah Winfrey. Okay, because I don't like Oprah Winfrey. I was asked to be on her show many years ago, and I declined. Y'all remember that? I said, not doing it. Have no interest in being on. They wanted me to debate like five allopathic physicians. And at one time, it's five against one against me.
That sounded fun.
That sounded like nothing I was going to do. And it was back before the internet, and they wouldn't let me give out an 800 number.
There's no upside.
There was no upside to it. It was going to go in there and try to get bushwhacked. And then they wouldn't let you talk.
Yeah.
And I said, we're not going to do all that. But, you know, Oprah's a billionaire. She's worth millions, billions of dollars. And every once in a while, she'll give $1 million away. Well, you remember, that's, you know, this 100 million, you know, it takes 10 of those.
Yeah.
So that's giving about 1,000th of her money away. You know, and she's worth two, so it's giving about, 2,000?
1,000 millions makes a billion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1,000
millions. So she's got thousands of millions of dollars. So she'll give away $1 million to some unbelievably liberal cause, and suddenly she's the great philanthropist.
Yeah.
And she says, everybody should be giving their money away. Oprah, we're looking at you. You've got 2,000 millions, 3,000 millions. Why do you have that much money? Why are you sitting on it? Why aren't you giving it away?
Yeah, if that's the cause.
And the Bible said it this way. Jesus said, the poor will always be among you. And it's not because the poor should always be among you, but he knows because he's omnipresent that they're going to always be among you. And the reality is that because they always do the same things that they were taught to do by their parents. And if you don't do what you need to do to get things done, you always stay poor.
Exactly right. Inability to organize detail,
yeah.
Inability to execute, inability to maintain discipline in certain areas. If you can't maintain, that's why I tell people just like exercise. If you can't even do the basic human factor of being exercising and being active and controlling what you put in your mouth, how in the heck are you going to be successful in any other area of your life?
Well, you don't have to be. You go to the military. You go in the Navy.
Well, they'll build some top discipline.
Navy loses two aircraft from the USS Nimitz aircraft
there
within 30 minutes.
Story, though.
Well, no. I have a person. I know a guy who used to work for us a very short period of time. Who's an absolute, it's awful. He said he used to work on aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And they would sneak underneath the decks and try to find places to hide so they wouldn't be told what to do. He said they would sit on top of the Tomahawk missiles, sit on them.
I could think of better seats.
Yeah, but that's where apparently nobody wanted to go but him. And so, he was awful.
See, think about this. It says the MH-60 Seahawk helicopter went down, and then shortly thereafter, the F-18 Super Hornet went down, which is very strange to me because they're operating out of the South China Sea. And granted, I'm not saying anything nefarious about this, but I do find it very. It says accidents under investigation. It says it could be weather conditions, possible mechanic issues, nature of the missions. Nothing's being released on it. I don't know. I saw this all over the news, and I covered it because you covered it. But it's very strange to me. Two aircrafts like that, both going down within 30 minutes of each other.
Well, they're decommissioned in the USS Nimitz, so it's an older aircraft.
There could be having some problems
But they say it could be the fuel. In December, the guided missile cruiser USS Gettysburg mistakenly shot down an F-18.
No, I remember that.
And then in April, in another F-18 fighter slipped off the Truman hangar deck and fell into the Red Sea. And in May, an F-A fighter, jet landed on the Kerry Red Sea, went overboard after it missed its hook.
It may not mean something that's nefarious. It may just be that the U.S. military has got so much DEI shoved down its throat now that it's becoming unfunctional. It's not combat effective anymore. I'm just saying, some aspects of it may not be where it needs to be.
Well, we've got the trial of the century coming up next, though.
In France,
trial of the century. This is a big deal.
Big one.
This is a big deal.
Big deal.
Bridget Macron, gender row trial begins at 10, hauled to court for harassing a French lady after she claims she's a man. The Macrons are actually suing about 10 different people are going on trial.
They're suing Candace Owens, too, aren't they?
I think she's in the list. Sexist cyber harassment.
Whoa. Is that a thing?
Sexist cyber harassment. If she is a woman, she is the ugliest woman the planet's ever produced.
I always thought, to my knowledge, that politicians or people in the public light basically were excluded from that because essentially it's like saying
this is France, though. This is not U.S. Yeah, 8 men and 2 women may not be Candace Owens. All between 41 and 60 will be tried in a Paris court and face up to 2 years in prison. They've been accused of making numerous malicious claims about the First Lady's sexuality and gender.
Claims.
Some even suggest her 24-year-old age difference with her husband was pedophilia. Among defendants is the conspiracy theorist Aurelien Parisien Atlan. I can't pronounce that. Is a publicist known online as Zoe Sagan. The defendants also include a woman already subject to a libel complaint by Ms. Macron in 2022. And then they list all these different people. For years, vicious rumors claiming that she was born a man have spread online, including with Candace Owens. Last March, Owens said she would stake her entire professional reputation on the claim that Bridget was born male.
That was a bold move.
Okay, now let me stop here for a second. Now I'm just going to say something and cover your children's ears right now because they don't need to hear this. Okay. First of all, they're going to say they're going to blood test her for DNA now and see if she has a Y chromosome.
Right. Who's going to blood test her?
Okay, wait a minute. Here's the point. There's only one way to tell you if she's a man. Somebody's got to yank her
pants.
Have
a physical done.
No. They'll lie.
Have an independent physical.
No, they'll lie, too.
They'll lie, too.
Okay? You got to take her up in front of the jury and yank her pants down. Sorry about that if your kids are listening. Otherwise, nobody's going to tell the truth about this.
No, that's a fact. It's all subjective.
You know, and then you don't even know because she could have had surgery done.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Outside of my pay grade. That's
so the only thing I know, she's got
the fact we're having a conversation about this is bizarre.
No, I saw it this morning. I thought, this is crazy. And I thought, I said, you know, and her lawyers have insisted that Candace Owens has a right to say what she believes under free speech
rules.
Yeah. She lives in the United States. The rumors about Bridget's birth gender first took off in France after Far-Right magazine printed them in 2021. Now, you know, here's what's funny. You know, when Joan Rivers ran her mouth. And I liked old Joan Rivers. I didn't agree with everything she said, but I'll give her one thing. She always said what she thought was right.
She was funny, too, sometimes.
She was funny sometimes.
But she was funny.
Yeah. But when she was basically being interviewed, when she was coming from doing a gay wedding, she was officiating it, they asked her, when do you think we'll have the first gay president? She goes, we already have one. Everybody knows Obama's gay, and everybody knows that Michelle's a tranny. And then she goes, what do you mean, tranny? She's everybody knows that Michelle Obama's a transgender.
I played the video on here before.
We played the video.
You guys can look it up if you want.
And so Joan Rivers, suddenly she died just a few weeks later.
Yeah, and surgery with a malpractice suit.
Yeah, and anesthesia. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, Joan Rivers apparently got off leash and said something she wasn't supposed to say. And now they're saying, oh, she's just joking. I played the video. She wasn't joking. She's proud of it. So, I mean, so the tricky thing about it is this Bridget, whatever her name is she a guy or is she a woman? Well, if she is a woman, she's the ugliest woman ever created on this planet, which is pretty hard to say, but she's pretty nasty looking. But the reality is that does it really matter at this point in our life?
No, I got to cover some of those. This is strange. This has happened all in the last few days. When I just talked to you guys about the SNAP benefits ending November 1st.
I was talking about Bridget for a second.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. FDA now confirmed the highest risk level for 6.7 million eggs now all have to be recalled.
More eggs going back again?
Salmonella.
Here's
the crazy part. No, 6.7 million eggs got recalled. It says the FDA recall notice for eggs said the eggs were sent to retail and wholesale locations, Arkansas, Missouri, Mississippi, Texas, California, and Indiana. It says essentially FDA is aware that the recalled product could still be in people's homes.
God, not again.
Now, listen to this crap, though. It says FDA announced October 17th, no illnesses have ever been reported to date in any connection with the specific recall. No illness, nothing. One egg allegedly could have tested positive for salmonella, so recalling 6.7 million.
No.
Well, then it takes another step further. This gets even weirder, right? So then, 2 million pounds of beef jerky that went to Costco and Sam's just got recalled under another high class one recall, the highest level again. That just happened last week. Well, then you've got 6 million pounds of chicken just got recalled for posed risk of serious adverse health consequences or death. Minnesota-based Hormel Food Corporation is recalling 4.8 million pounds of ready-to-eat frozen chicken due to concern of possible metal contamination. However, there's been no significant injuries or any problems with it. Then you've got another one that came up here that I talked about with the 5 million pounds of chicken, and I'll have the other one. It was talking about, again, recalling more butter. So isn't it strange that SNAP program's allegedly ending this weekend? And we're not talking about, oh, you know, a couple hundred thousand pounds of chicken, 5 million pounds of chicken. This is prepped, ready to eat chicken. This isn't 5 million pounds of carcasses. This is ready to eat thighs. What's going on with this? And while somehow we have this massive FDA recall in the last week,
you know, nothing happens in politics if it's been planned out. You know,
there you go.
You know, first September, I guess it was, you know, we blow up a Venezuelan raft supposedly carrying drugs.
I got an article on that here.
Okay? And all of a sudden, about a week or so later, they kill Charlie Kirk. You know, and guess what? Guess what's not being reported in the news as much now because of all that?
Charlie Kirk.
Gaza.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah,
if you really want to obfuscate the news, you have to have another headline.
Well, this is something I'm going to cover. This
so now we have headlines again. So if you want to really obfuscate stuff, everybody's going to have egg prices at $12.
Maybe that's what I said.
Yeah.
Oh, food's good. Food's falling off the shelf. And no SNAP program.
So my question is this: who in the FDA makes these decisions? Is there a committee or one person that's doing this? And how do they look as far as their Swiss? How do their Swiss accounts look? Because to me, you're milking these
6.7 million eggs got recalled for salmonella.
Here we go again.
Zero cases of salmonella or any reports of illness. 6.7 million eggs.
You know, and so the problem that you have is the fact that, you know, you have people in high levels of government position. Now, I want to know why Kennedy hasn't stepped into this.
Yeah.
And said, hey, no, we're not going to do
that. He might, because all these happened so quickly. The FDA came out and they slammed it
that
last
means
week.
Food prices are to go through the roof.
Right.
About the same time SNAP's running out.
Like I said earlier, more theater. And then, you know, I brought a topic up to one of my buddies.
Who makes the money on all this?
Who makes the money on all this? And who's, remember, this is why the war in, you know, basically war in Ukraine hasn't ended. They want to keep the conflict going. Now we're starting a war with Venezuela. Well, the problem is we're getting this precedent. And I talked to a buddy up in North Carolina about this when I was up there. And he said what they're doing now with this Venezuelan executions now with these boats is they're getting people normalized to open executions as far as for alleged doing something. And this is Rand Paul talking about. I'm going to bring this up right here. I want you guys to listen to this.
In Venezuela, not just a little bit. There's one, there is no fentanyl made in Venezuela. Zero. Not just a little bit. There's none being made in Venezuela. These are outboard boats that in order for them to get to Miami would have to stop and refuel 20 times. They're in all likely going to Trinidad and Tobago, which is an island right off of the coast of Venezuela. So there's a lot of reasons to be worried about this. But number one is the broader principle of when can you kill people indiscriminately? When you are at war. That's why when we declare war, it's supposed to be done by Congress. It's supposed to be thoughtful. It's supposed to be debated. And we're not supposed to do it willy-nilly. And then when you have war, you just kill people in the war zone. And even then, there are rules of engagement. But interdicting drugs has always been a criminal activity and a criminal anti-crime sort of activity where we don't just summarily execute people. We actually present evidence and convict them.
I thought it was interesting. We brought this topic up last week about these alleged airstrikes on these Venezuelan boats. Now,
Obama started this with drone strikes, and now Trump figures he just continues.
Well, no, and here's the question I was going to ask, though. Okay, this one I'm going to ask the listeners. You know, is Trump actually doing this with these Venezuelan boats, or are we having Lavender AI that Israel did operations with in Gaza when it first rolled out with the drone systems? Are we now giving drone systems AI in open waters now?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But is it going to go to that?
Well, it probably will.
I mean, now we're saying we're just going to start randomly shooting boats because they let
you hear what
he
said. To go to the United States, you'd have to refuel these 20 times
for Venezuela because they're out. He's right, though. They got like a single 250 on the back of them or dual 250s.
Well, some of them are running six engines.
Right.
And they drink fuel.
I'm about to say, some of those offboards are wild how much fuel they drink. And so, yeah, they may have 100, 200 gallon fuel cell. Are they? You really think you're going to get to the port of Miami with a boat, with a bunch of tarps over it, with a bunch of outboard engines, you're going to roll up in the port of Miami and dump this stuff off, or you're going to dump it off the coast?
No, we want the oil. In fact, Trump said in 2024 that, you know, Venezuela's about to collapse and that we could have gotten their oil.
Exactly right.
And now all of a sudden we want the oil. Because remember, Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world.
And that's why he already said the other day, CIA's already doing operations there.
Oh, yeah. They're, and we've overthrown 60 countries. This is why the world, this is why the world hates the United States, because we just like to throw people out of their office and, you know, take over countries. It's awful.
And I'm not supporting the leader of Venezuela or a lot of stuff that he's been involved in, but I'm saying this. When you should start randomly going, we know this boat's got dope on it, so we're doing an airstrike. We're not boarding it with the Coast Guard. We're not intercepting it with the Navy. We're just going to do airstrike. I mean, what happens if, you know, Dad and I, we're out offshore fishing 40, 50, 60 miles out, going for sail fishing season. All of a sudden, oh, by the way, there were drugs on that boat, so we had an airstrike. At what point now do you start? But think about it for a second. At what point do you start allowing this stuff to happen with no question? That's my point.
Well, no, that's the whole thing, is that we have to ask ourselves those questions. And the same thing, you know, then they obfuscate stuff with this Bridget Macron now. It's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And they're making that lead story
on
Grudge.
It'll be all theater all over the news now. In reality, it's completely irrelevant. If she is or not, what difference does it make? What are you going to do about it?
It's like we talked about it yesterday when I listened to Angel Wars on Saturday. Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that their God is an hermaphrodite named Isis.
They like to push that.
Well, they believe he's God.
Yeah.
They crowned him God.
Right.
Okay.
So they want the Antichrist to come back in the third temple. That's their God.
So they believe the closest expression a human being can have is to be a hermaphrodite or transgender.
And that's why I've talked a lot of times on this show while we try to bring you guys stuff that's applicable to daily lives, things you can actually put in as far as goals and certain things you can do to make yourself healthier, your children healthier, your body stronger, your mind stronger. Because at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff, it's all theater. It is. And what you can do is actually getting yourself stronger, setting your goals, getting motivated, pushing forward, getting things done, making sure you're the best you can possibly be, especially for your kids as you help raise them and raise them up as little Americans. Get involved locally. Get involved with your kids. Know what they're getting involved in with the school system. We were at a restaurant the other night in North Carolina, and we talked to a family, and they pulled their kids out of the school system in like second grade, started doing a homeschool co-op. Now that homeschool co-op in North Carolina's got like 500 people in it. Exact same thing we did down here in Florida. We're sitting next door in a restaurant. Also, we start talking about it. Get involved, my friends. If you need anything, Health Masters, B Complex on sale. We're here to help you out the best we possibly can. 10% off, and be sure to vote for what you want to see next 2 days now. Product of the week. Appreciate you guys. Stay strong.
Love you guys. More and more people I talk to aren't immunizing their kids.
Yes.
Had to have them again up in Nashville the other day. Talked to a lady, had a 20-month-old little baby, 18, 14-month-old baby. And I asked her, I was going to ask you a personal question. She said, sure, are you immunized? She said, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
We'll not do it. No more.
A lot of people.
No
mas. I'm going to get into that tomorrow on one of the articles on why in the world that we have the highest hepatitis B vaccination in the United States. Almost no other industrialized country uses hepatitis.
Well, nobody wants to put all mercury in the babies. Oh, by the way, we got to pray for you guys at church yesterday. Love you so much. Thank you for your support. Thanks for being concerned about us while we were gone last week. Thanks for all the emails. We're healthy, by the way.
I'm here.
And I love you guys. Keep praying for us. And thank you. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. We wouldn't be here if you weren't doing that for us.
See you guys tomorrow, as always.